Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 10th, 2015. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Decatur Man Wounded by Known Assailant. From Decatur, a man was shot just 4 blocks from downtown early Sunday morning. The Decatur Police Department responded to a call that shots had been fired in the 800 block of East Prairie Avenue shortly after 1 a.m. The victim, a 20-year-old black man, was treated for life-threatening injuries at a local hospital before being transferred to an area hospital. Deputy Chief Cody L. Moore indicated the shooting was not a random act, as the assailant knew the victim. Next article, headlined, Festival's 30th Edition Scores Best Numbers in a Decade. From Decatur, while no one looks forward to rain on Decatur Celebration Weekend, the early morning downpour did little to keep away crowds that poured in for the last day of the festival. In her fifth year as producer and director, Lori Sturgill said rain forecasts don't worry her as much as they once did, and the rain didn't drain her mood, considering the early projections on sales and visitors. It looks like sales are up to what they were a decade ago, Sturgill said. She attributes the early projections to the largest crowds they've had since 2005 and is happy with how the 30th anniversary celebration unfolded. This is a fantastic year in my book, and we've had rave reviews, Sturgill said. Crowds gathered downtown for their last chance to get a fill of celebration food and music and catch the last headliner, Kool and the Gang. Crowded inside one booth, about 10 parents and students were busy making lemon shake-ups to raise money for the Mount Zion High School Swing Sations Show Choir. It's their biggest fundraiser of the year, and they expect to sell enough $3 and $5 shake-ups to raise $20,000. Our sales are up compared to last year and the year before that, said parent Elaine Perry. In Central Park, Luke Puckett Jr. of Stonington had already lost 4 games of chess to 11-year-old Aiden Turgot. I played yesterday and did pretty good, but this kid came along and destroyed my ego, said Puckett, who's on the chess team at Taylorville High School. But Aiden, a national chess champion, was beating everyone from inside a circle of tables where he could play up to 15 people at once. He's the strongest here, said Aiden's father, Tansel Turgot. Fans of En Vogue and Kool and the Gang staked out their spots early in front of the show and FunFest stages. Watching from behind the scenes were Frank Ferricone and Dave Martin, who have powered Celebration as the utility chairman for 17 years. Ideally, if we do our job right, no one knows about us, Ferricone said. Inside Celebration headquarters, they point out on a map of downtown where the 25 new power distribution panels are located. They have a lot of power over who goes where, depending on their electrical use. Unlike previous years, the electricity powering Celebration's stages, food booths, and craft vendors came from below, not above. In the past, power cables feeding directly from Ameren would be struck from the streetlights in a process that would take about 3 weeks. When the city redesigned downtown starting in 2011, it took the festival's power needs into consideration. They approached me and asked how they could help with Celebration, Martin said. The city has been great to work with. It was nice they approached us. During the renovations, conduits to hold wires were installed beneath the sidewalks that would lead up to the red and orange panels. The city also increased the number of electrical circuits and the streetlights vendors could plug into. The lights around Central Park now also can provide more power. My power capacity has gone up 20-fold, Martin said. With the new infrastructure in place, it took less time for crews to set up power stations during downtown events, and vendors are less likely to overpower a circuit. And a related article, headlined, Vanilla Ice Heats Up Social Media. It turns out that what may have been this year's biggest issue at Decatur Celebration was something that's never been a problem before. Too many headliners. One of the biggest complaints on social media over the weekend was sight lines for the FunFest stage in its new location. For each act, Blackberry Smoke, Vanilla Ice, and En Vogue, there were complaints about being unable to see and how the stage could have been better located for each act. Those complaining are, of course, not manufacturing irritation. They clearly had trouble finding comfortable sight lines. But it's never been my experience that sight lines are any better at the stage show. At the show stage. But there was plenty of churn on that show stage, which hosted six bands and the opening ceremony in a 54-hour stretch. Everyone who knows of Vanilla Ice likely has an opinion on the man's talent, but he came out and lit up a Celebration Saturday night crowd, and one thing is indisputable. People at the event and on Facebook were interested in his show. Herald and Review videographer Ashley Fenner posted 70 seconds of his performance of Ice Ice Baby. Within 2 hours, it had 1,000 views. That wasn't entirely people who saw the performance and wanted to rush home and see it again. Those were a lot of people interested in Ice sitting somewhere else on a Saturday night. By mid-afternoon, the video had in excess of 10,000 views and more than 160 shares. It can be seen at http://tinyurl.com/DC15ICE. Most adorable moment. Sure, there's plenty of competition, but it's hard to beat the flash mob that helped a man's wedding proposal. Terrence Taylor and Debbie's Dance Studio conspired with Decatur Celebration for a Saturday afternoon flash mob. The group danced for about 3 minutes, with Taylor even joining them for a stretch. And Taylor took to a knee to propose marriage to Amber Cruz. She said yes. My favorite moment is 45 seconds in to the video when someone says, "Oh, I get it. It's a flash mob." The hot dog contest. The biggest surprise in the fourth annual Heinkel's hot dog eating contest was virtually no surprise at all. The contest has made a habit of throwing spectators off stride with surprises. This year's primary difference was having the media contest go on at the same time as those in the actual contest. It helped to make the show a more agreeable length. The only problem is the next time the contest starts on time will be the first time. That wouldn't be an issue, except for how the audience has been trained on how the clock works at Celebration. The occasional Billy Ocean attitude aside, the Celebration audience has been conditioned that things start on time. Random acts of kindness. Did you get touched by a random act of kindness Saturday? Representatives of Decatur City Limitless wandered the festival grounds and awarded free parking, free food, VIP seating, and one woman won a meet and greet with Kool and the Gang. Squawk. If a reporter is fortunate, each story provides either a new experience or offers something the reporter has never experienced before. That said, my defining Decatur Celebration 2015 moment was trying to conduct an interview over the insistent squawks of a macaw at the Wings of Wonder Avian Rescue float in the Razzle Dazzle Good Times Parade staging area. A macaw, sitting on a lawn chair, on a float, interrupting an interview in downtown Decatur. May your Monday morning return to work not be jarring, and may pleasant celebration memories sustain you for another year. In an article headlined "Goal Setting Stressed to Hope Students" by Valerie Wells. College may have seemed a long way off to the Hope Academy middle school students at Eisenhower High School last week for boot camp, but it's not as distant as they think. Justin Hampton, who teaches the summer Operation Calculus program at Eisenhower, made a list of average salaries for different education levels, and there was an audible gasp when he told those students what a person with a doctorate can aspire to, $1,500 a week. Everything you do from this point on will affect those numbers, the decisions you make, he said. Part of growing up, he said, is putting the things you should do ahead of the things you want to do. Making a list of goals is no good if you're not willing to do the hard things that will make those goals a reality. You've got to say to yourself, I can't be on Facebook or Instagram, he said. I've got to do my homework. I've got to study. I've got to go to practice. He knew people in junior high who were good students, but when they got to high school, they were willing to just squeak by, and today they're not living the life they envisioned for themselves. He also urged them to encourage their classmates to work and be successful too. Make sure you do everything not just to better yourself, but to help everybody around you. The boot camp, said Henry Walker, is a way to prepare Hope Academy's top students to continue working hard and achieving. When he took over as Hope's principal, his first priority was to instill discipline in the school. Now, he said, he wants to create a culture of high academic achievement and support students who want to reach that goal. With the Operation Calculus students leading many of the activities, the hope is that the younger students will join them in higher math classes. Eighth grader Aislinn Taylor said she isn't a math whiz, but hopes the program will help her improve her skills. One of the team-building activities was for students to construct a car using food items, such as cookies, pretzel sticks, and marshmallows. The team whose car drove the best would get a prize. Lead teacher Salat Al-Nuruddin, a senior at Eisenhower who went to Hope Academy, helped each team choose food items to build their cars. His reason for being in Operation Calculus is his interest in math and in helping younger students build their skills, he said. I didn't get higher math at Hope, he said. I wanted to take honors geometry as a freshman, and I wasn't ready. And back to a story on the Decatur Celebration, written by Tim Kane. Headlined, Family's Attendance is Three Generations Strong. Starts with a photograph of Shannon and Melina McGarry riding the Sizzler together on the final day of the Decatur Celebration. Big smiles on both of their faces. Sweeping up the streets, Street Fest's last day in its 30th year. Family Tradition. Terry Chance has been to every Decatur celebration since it began in 1986. Even though she was pregnant, she remembers everything about the three-day weekend and having a fun time. I even remember what I had on, she said. I got to eat lots of great food. Now Chance and her baby, 29-year-old Haley Huddleston, are attending the festival as food vendors. The two are serving ice cream and slushies in the Mr. Softy truck on the south side of Central Park. I felt like this year was our year to bring back Mr. Softy to the celebration to coincide with the 30th anniversary, Chance said. Even though she is busier this year, Chance is keeping with her traditions. Saturday morning we would bring Haley to the parade and then the carnival, she said. For the last 6 years, I've been bringing the granddaughters. Pie eating contest. The kids' block was going strong Sunday with games and entertainment, from a prize wheel contest to the water-drenching anxiety chair. But the main attraction was the pastor pie eating contest. 12 competitors, only a few clergymen and one impromptu volunteer, stepped up to the pie plate. The plastic head covers and trash bags did little to protect them from the cherry, apple, and peach pies after the countdown. With his beard drenched in crumbs and cherry filling, Nick King emerged a few minutes later as champion. The winner declared, those with pie remaining decided it was time for a food fight, and the crowd ran to escape the friendly fire. 2015 Miss Macon Pageant. While Decatur Celebration raged outside Sunday, inside the Civic Center, 35 young women and girls put their skills on display for a chance to be crowned. The 2015 Macon County Queen Pageant had 17 contestants between the ages of 16 and 23. They usually have 6 or 7. The pageant also had 9 for Junior Miss, ages 11 to 15, and 9 Princess candidates, ages 5 to 10. After 3 hours of interviews, speeches, runway walks, and clothing displays, Kristen Batty was crowned as 2015 Miss Macon County. Kylie Nichols went away with the Junior Miss title. It's hot, Bob. An entire celebration audience had the opportunity to be part of a television commercial Saturday evening. As part of another round of It's Hot, Bob advertisements for Bob Brady Dodge, people waiting to hear Vince Vance and the Valiants were given 3 attempts to shout the popular phrase. It was a good fit for us, said Steve Ginsler, Bob Brady Dodge general manager. A lot of our customers listen to that type of music. The car dealer also was a sponsor for the show. Throughout the summer, live auditions were held around the city. We have gotten so many local people on our commercials, it has been overwhelming, Ginsler said. The commercials are all new with 60 groups in 19 spots. If the film footage from Saturday night's taping is acceptable, the commercial could air as early as Wednesday. This is a good venue for us, Ginsler said. We are all about Decatur. And in an updated article written by Donette Beckett, Herald and Review staff writer, Decatur Youth Hockey scores goal of $150,000. In March, Decatur Youth Hockey players Blake Schemperlin and William Preston began contributing to the Hockeyville USA campaign because they wanted to support their sport. We sent text, emails, and phone calls, Preston said. I contributed as much as possible. But they had an ulterior motive. We need better locker rooms, Schemperlin said. They are small and compact. Their contributions, as well as the rest of the community, paid off. On Saturday, the Community Foundation of Macon County was able to present the Decatur Youth Hockey Association and the Decatur Civic Center with a check for $75,000. The amount matched the second place $75,000 contribution by Kraft during the Hockeyville USA competition. Retired Chicago Blackhawks and St. Louis Blues hockey player Jamal Mayers attended the check presentation. Christy Niles and Mayers were co-grand marshals during the Razzle Dazzle Good Times Parade. During the presentation, Mayers was given a blue Decatur hockey jersey. Back in the game, he said of his possible return to the ice. He also signed a white Decatur hockey jersey to be auctioned off by the league later in the season. Niles was chosen because she is a central part of the Decatur Youth Hockey Association. She was the author of the letter that was chosen that got us into the Hockeyville contest, Haybrook said. We have all this to thank from her. Although the league was unaware of the amount of the contribution at the time of the presentation, DYHA offered the Decatur Civic Center 5 proposed projects. Hopefully, they'll accept what we have offered, Haybrock said. Decatur finished 2nd in the National Hockeyville USA competition. The winner of the contest, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, received $150,000 and the opportunity to host a National Hockey League preseason game. After the winner was announced in May, an anonymous donor contributed $37,500 to the Community Foundation of Macon County. We're the perfect organization for people to give anonymously, said Wedgie Stewart, Community Foundation of Macon County president. The donor contributed half of the amount with a community challenge to come up with the rest. This donor thought we should have gotten first, Stewart said. We built on the enthusiasm that the community had displayed through the Hockeyville Challenge. Together with the second place winnings of the Hockeyville USA Challenge, the anonymous donor and the community's contribution, the Decatur Civic Center will receive $150,000. It's been a whirlwind, Haybrook said, but it's finally coming to an end with the fundraising portion. An article written by Valerie Wells, staff writer. Headline: Many factors determine whether a child is prepared for kindergarten. Children who turn 5 on or before September 1st are eligible to enroll in kindergarten that year, according to the Illinois School Code. However, eligible doesn't always mean ready, and some parents of children with late birthdays choose to wait a year, while others don't wait. Hillary Simmons' son's birthday is August 31st, just under the wire, and he was still 4 when he started kindergarten last year. He did amazing, said the Cerro Gordo mom. He absolutely loved school and excelled quickly. He learned so much so fast. Brandy Chisinau's son, Evan, is starting 7th grade in Mount Zion. His birthday is August 1st, and he started school at 6 instead of 5 because the family waited a year, making him one of the oldest students in his class. I decided that although I might have regrets about sending him at 5, I would probably never have regrets about waiting, Chisinau said. I talked with a kindergarten teacher before making my decision, and she said in her 30-plus years of experience, she has never seen a parent regret holding them one more year. Evan spent that extra year at Mount Calvary Lutheran Preschool, and as the teacher told her, Chisinau has not regretted her decision. Frankly, I'd look at their social and emotional readiness over and above their academic readiness, said Lois Hinz, a retired kindergarten teacher who taught at the Lutheran School Association for more than 20 years, long enough to teach 2 generations of some families. Hinz said she can teach any child to read and work with numbers, but there are things teachers can't do, and that's the readiness to look for. Can the child follow 2 or more directions at one time, such as put your toys away and then go outside and tell your sister it's time for her piano lesson? Can he or she dress alone, handle the bathroom alone, had exposure to using scissors and crayons and other fine motor skills? Kindergarten and first grade teacher Catherine Rutledge said that in her experience, children who start kindergarten too young are often retained because they weren't ready to learn. Kindergarten in the United States is very different from when most parents went to school, she said. The rigorous curriculum demands are closer to what they used to be taught in first grade. Now, kindergartners learn about 100 sight words as well as basic addition and subtraction, which she used to teach in first grade. If parents ask her advice, she shows them the curriculum and asks them to think about if their child is ready to tackle that. In her experience, she said, children who wait the extra year always do better in school. Sarah Bieland of the Education Coalition of Macon County said EDCO has distributed a kindergarten readiness package to help parents teach children those skills and judge whether the child is ready for school, with a checklist that includes following directions, sharing and taking turns, going up and down stairs, knowing body parts, sorting items by size, color, and shape. The kindergarten readiness calendar is available online at www.edco4kids.org. The Decatur School District's website also has a checklist to help parents make the decision, and all income incoming kindergartners are expected to be screened for readiness. A child who is at least 4 years, 6 months old by June 1st may be allowed to enter kindergarten through early enrollment if he or she meets certain criteria, also listed on the site www.dps61.org. And in another article about kindergarten, Transition to Kindergarten, a Big Deal, article written by Emily Steele, staff writer. Decatur Public Schools open August 17th, and students of all ages are preparing for the excitement and anxiety of a new teacher, a new classroom, and a new school year. But for a child getting ready to learn their ABCs and 1-2-3s, the first day of school is intimidating. However, a child's journey to preschool and kindergarten begins the moment they're born. Jason Wallace, principal of Pershing Early Learning Center, said a prevention initiative through the Macon County Health Department can even work with families from before a child is born. That's where parent educators go into the home and work with the families before they even get to school, Wallace said. All the students at the center are at risk, meaning they could be living in poverty, coming from a single-parent home, or been exposed to drugs in utero. About half have never been in an educational setting before, such as daycare. We focus on the social-emotional part first, because if a child doesn't know how to work in a classroom setting, it's going to be hard for them to learn, Wallace said. Children enter preschool around age 3 and kindergarten at 5, ready to be around other children. Early in Claudia Quigg's career, before she founded Baby Talk, she taught kindergarten for 2 years. The point of preschool is not academics as much as it is socialization and learning how to be in a group, Quigg said. It's in preschool that children learn to feel safe away from their parents, how to make friends, listen and wait their turn. When preparing their children for school, parents should keep their emotions in check. A lot of parents have an emotional response to sending their child to school, and when children see us being emotional, that sends up alarms for them, Quigg said. While the focus is more social, it's good for preschoolers to have a sense of self, which means they know their name, address, and phone number. A certain set of academic skills is not required, but helpful. Imagine if I'm 5 and the teacher says we're going to count, and I already know how. What a confidence boost that is for me, Quigg said. Transitioning to kindergarten and a full day of school is an even bigger deal for a curious child. Quigg recommended sharing as much information as possible, but also preparing soon-to-be kindergartners with self-care skills, such as tying their shoes and going to the bathroom alone. And we will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, August 10th, 2015. Please stay tuned.